From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For everything in the outdoors.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm jumping ahead. We can get our introductions all wound up, but this is O'Neill from Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio. We have 2 hours of outdoors headed your way. You can watch us on Facebook and listen on WSB, that is 95.5 WSB, and 750 on your AM dial, and Facebook and all across the country from Seattle to L.A., to Maine and to South Florida, all on the SB Nation. So, welcome to the program, everyone. 2 hours of outdoors, no politics. And man, oh man, do I wish I could say a few things, but I've promised that I would not. And all outdoors, about you, your family, the holiday that we're enjoying this weekend, the things for you to do, some highly valued recommendations about fishing, hunting, and the preparation for the hunting season, and of course, your calls. The telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and across the country at 800-972-8255. That translates to WSB Talk, T-A-L-K. I'll give those numbers again. 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. It's my pleasure and obligation to tell you that this program is brought to you by Realtree, Tough Shed, Stripling's General Store, the Whitetail Institute, Arctic Ice, CVA Muzzleloaders, the Furminator, Quality Deer Management Association, Fisher's Choice Baits, and Snailville Heating and Air. They're bigger than they sound. So, welcome to the program, everyone. We have a lot of things to talk about this morning. We have a podcast, Alaska, a book, a radio prize package question, the Medal of Honor tribute in the second hour. We will have a newly instituted prize package called Who Is This? And then you'll enjoy that too, I promise. This is O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings, 4 to 6 a.m., the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, because you listen and participate. This is O'Neill. After a short break, we'll be back and we'll get started. Okay, let's talk about a few things. I have a question to pose for you, and then I have some recommendations. First of all, the reminders are very self-serving. You can visit O'Neill Outside by website at o'neilloutside.com or o'neilloutside.net, and you can order my book there on the homepage. You can order it there. You can order it at Amazon. If you order it at the website, then I will personally sign that book. And maybe you'll find it some good reading about the people and places along the way that I have had in the last 65 years of being in the outdoors. This is not John Steinbeck. It's not the great American novel. It's what it says it is. But you can order it there. And on that home page also, down at the bottom of the page, you can join us on our trip to Alaska next June of 2020. I think we have 5 rooms left, balcony rooms, and I'd love to have you go. I would tell you that this is the number one cruise I've ever been associated. We've made this trip 2 times. We leave out of Seattle, and we go up the Lynn Canal inside the Inland Passage all the way to the glaciers. And oh, it's just marvelous. And you should book it now. You can cancel later if you need be, but you need to book it now. And you can find out that at o'neilloutside.com, the homepage right down there at the bottom. Okay, I have some recommendations. Ready? I know it's August, and summertime fishing is going to extend for at least another month. Now, the autumnal, I think that's the way you call it, the autumnal equinox is approximately 3 weeks. What does that mean? That means the number of hours of daylight are being reduced or are reducing now, and in 3 weeks, approximately the third week of September, it's the same number of hours of daylight as darkness. So fishing begins to really change then. But here's some recommendations about improving your fishing, some unusual recommendations, for now, summertime fishing. Ready? Okay. You go into a lake where you haven't been successful. Maybe it's a new lake. Maybe it's a lake where you need to try some new things. Okay? Big lakes. Go where there's current. Go up the river, up the lengthy creeks. Find current. That will help your fishing. Number two, fish deep and then deeper and then deeper. I know 2 years ago I was with Mac Farr at Lake Lanier, and I was lucky enough to hook and catch a striper at 100 feet. Actually, I think the striper was 97 feet, but let's call it an even 100. Surprising? You bet. Number three, do you always have to go for bass? Of course, it's the number one sport fish in the United States. But when you go fishing and you want to be successful and you want to fill the cooler and you want to take a child with you that can get bit, it doesn't have to be a bass. Fish for something else. Fish for crappie under the docks. Or go to a stream and catch trout. Change your target. And lastly, if you insist on bass fish at night. I used to do a lot of that when I was younger and could stay up and still work the next day. Fish at night. Fishing changes at night. If you fish around the lighted docks, the lighted marinas, then you can catch a lot of bass at night. Okay. If you want to call about that, discuss that, add to that list, be sure and call me at 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. Before we get to my next question, let's talk to Wade. Wade is calling from Kentucky, I believe. Good morning, Wade. What do you say, pal?
Morning, O'Neill.
What's going on with you? What's going on? Talk to
you. It's 3 o'clock here, buddy.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, no, be sure. Yeah.
You know what that means, don't you?
Go ahead, tell me.
15 hours and 13 minutes till kickoff.
You know, that's right. I know you're a fan. I am a fan of the sport more than I am for the team. But
I'm
that's
big
okay.
On college.
Isn't it?
I mean, I'm big on college.
Good deal.
We ain't gonna talk politics, but the Pro Bowl game is a different ball game than the college ball game.
Absolutely. 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 You're right about that.
I like what you're talking about, fish where the current's at.
Uh-huh. You like that?
I miss that current coming out below that Buford Dam.
Oh, that's exactly right.
About knee-deep up in that trout stream be about a good day today.
Oh, yes, it would. It gets better all the time. As a matter of fact, I don't have time to do it today, but the stocking report for the DNR in Georgia, and I'm sure states all over the South, the Department of Natural Resources stocks trout every single week.
That's the best $5 you will spend every summer.
You betcha. You betcha.
That trout stamp, and you told me before to harp on that, that trout stamp is the best $5, and that $9 fishing license, that's your best under $20 entertainment for you can get.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're a follower of that, and I hope my audience is listening to you, because it's a huge audience, and I hope that they are. They
well,
tell me they are.
You can spend $100 on a season pass at Lake Lanier Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't get near the enjoyment out of it as you will that $14 on your fishing and trout stamp.
It's a shame that other tax monies and other fees can remotely relate to the importance and what you get from a fishing license.
You know, and the funny part about it is, it's just when you buy that little old pack of Eagle Claw Gold hooks,
yeah,
that money's going to them fish too.
Oh yeah, that's hey,
you
that's
buy
a
that
good
brand
point.
New 5500 Garcia reel, and put it on that new rod. Mm-hmm. That's going to them fish.
That's exactly right. From the excise taxes and the Pittman Robinson Wildlife Restoration Act, which is about 90 years old now.
Wasn't it 27 that come in?
I think it was, yeah, 1927.
Guess where I learned that at?
I don't know.
Somewhere on a Saturday morning about 4 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, the Pittman Robinson Wildlife Restoration Act. That's why our hunting and fishing and wildlife management in this country is the best in the world.
Yeah, see, I got to put this to Woman Williams. Can I say it on there?
Absolutely.
It's clean. I got a buddy named Jonathan Spittler, S-P-I-T-L-E-R.
Uh-huh.
He has moved to Ringgold, Alaska.
Oh, my goodness.
Bought him a boat, and he runs out there and gets the salmon from the salmon catchers and takes them back to the market.
Oh, boy. Got him a business.
Yeah, he's got it going on. I laugh at him. About 5 or 6 years ago, his best friend, my buddy David's son, my best buddy David, one of the grandpa on that cabin up on the river I talk about so much.
Oh, yeah.
His son and his nickname's Kelso. He looks like Kelso on that 70s show.
Okay.
But Jonathan ain't never killed a deer. I took him over at Walt's over off New Bethany right there near the lake. Now look, I sat right here on this terrace, and right about dark, they're going to come out down there. Well, boom. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Boom. Uh-oh. Didn't kill one the first time he killed one. He killed two.
He's spoiled rotten. All right, my good friend.
I made him get dirty. He said, I'm going to take these over here to the processor. Well, you ain't going to take them without cleaning them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, he cleaned them for me. Oh, no, no, no.
You got to complete the hunt.
All
right, my good friend.
We're going to clean that secondly. We hung on putting a big old persimmon tree in the backyard.
I got to put you on hold here, pal. I got to go for a break. This is O'Neill outside. We'll be back with Who Is This feature when we return. Welcome back, everyone. We have a feature coming up on the program called Who Is This? And you can win, what did I say we're going to win? Maybe a fishing cap or something. But before I get to that, a couple of things. Pay close attention to some of the recommendations that I make because and let's be fair, I glean these recommendations like the ones I just gave you about changing your fishing habits in the summertime. I get these from websites and some from my own experience, but if you pay close attention to those, some of those, and plant them in your brain and give it a try, you can improve your fishing. Now, here's something I want you to understand. One of my sponsors is called Arctic Ice, A-R-C-T-I-C, Ice. It's these big plastic liquid-filled trays, if you will, or packages, and you put them in the freezer. And you use that instead of ice, and you can refreeze them. They stay frozen all day. I'm just telling you those as a personal favor. Once you get some Arctic Ice and put it in the freezer, you won't buy ice anymore, and you're going to find out how convenient that is. Okay, before we play Who Is This, I want to make another recommendation to you. Deer season's right around the corner, and you are preparing now. And during your trips to the woods in preparation for the deer season, you can squirrel hunt. Yeah, squirrel season in Georgia and around the South is already in. It's most pleasant. Great to take a kid. You can use a single-shot 410. It's safe. You get a lot of shots. You see a lot of game. And you can eat the squirrels. Yeah, parboiled. Squirrel dumplings. Don't pay any attention to Milton Crabapple. He says squirrel head jelly. That's a joke. But squirrel hunt while you prepare for the deer season. Okay. So here's the ultimate question that I'm posing to you for you to think about. What is, if you've got a an old deer lease, you own some land, you just got you a new deer lease, and here is the thing that you can do that will make the deer season the best it can be this year, real soon, and for other years that you have the lease. All right, let's chat about it. Put in a food plot. A good one. One that fits. One that works. One that lasts. Because let's face it, what do white-tailed deer, whether they live in Central Florida or Canada, what do they do? What is their daily activity? During the, other than the rutting period in which they mate, all they do is hang out, eat, sleep, and remain alive. They're real good at that remaining alive part. They sleep often, sometimes with their eyes open. They eat, so they stay close to food sources. And they separate. The does look after the fawns, and the bucks kind of hang out with their buddies. And that's all they do. And the central part of that combination is a food supply. And while a deer feeder is good, especially during the season, a food plot is most desirable. How do you know what to plant? How do you know when to plant it? How do you prepare the soil so that the food plot is successful? You can put in a great food plot, but if the ground is not prepared properly, it won't work. You have to get a soil test. Then you have to use a Furminator and get it all planted just perfectly. It works. Plant perennials. Plant things that are going to come back every year. Plant things that are going to grow all year long. And it feeds not only the deer, keeps them on your site, but it feeds other animals also. How do you find that out? Here's my selfish source. If you will telephone the Whitetail Institute, they're in a little town called Pentlala, Alabama. And there's a real-life person who will answer the phone and entertain your calls. Now, I brought this subject up because I get calls every week, messages on Facebook and messages on emails and all of that at my O'Neill Outside Facebook page. What do I plant this year, O'Neill? Excuse me. Well, and the caller or the guy who's asking that question lives in Kansas. I don't know what to plant in Kansas. But the Whitetail Institute does. They'll tell you what to plant, when to plant it, what to expect from it. I know, and it, the subject came up, and I'm going to get to the question in a moment. The subject came up because the Whitetail Institute sent Power Plant and Imperial Clover to Travis in Oklahoma. They're going to send it Monday and Tuesday. They researched that would work best in western Oklahoma and east Texas Panhandle, so he's going to have food plots there. Ooh, okay. Whole nother subject. Let's see if we have any calls about my fishing recommendations. And, we're going to talk. Let me ask the question first, Tony, and then I'm going to get right to you. All right, I have, what am I going to give away? Okay, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. I will send to you a signed O'Neill Outside Fishing Cap for the first correct answer to the following question. Who is this? This fellow hosted a nationally syndicated fishing show called Championship Fishing. He hosted it for 25 years, 21 of which he was the number one rated for fishing shows. According to Nielsen and other rating services, in one of those years, the show was placed number one over 400 syndicated shows. He started a plumbing shop in Missouri in 1950, and he and his son, Bill, then started up Bass Buster Lures. In the back of the shop, they sold it to Johnson Fishing later on. Who is this? The host of Championship Fishing. Call with the correct answer to the numbers I gave you, and I'll send you a fishing cap. Right now, let's talk to Tony. Tony is calling from Lawrenceville, Georgia. Good morning, Tony. What do you say?
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, hey there. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
Glad to hear it.
So, what I want to ask is, I'm a deer hunter.
Uh-huh.
And I hunt on government land up in Monticello, Georgia.
Okay.
What would you recommend to hunt on government land?
Okay, the recommendations I have for public land, and I hunt public land also, there's two or three recommendations. Ready? This is activity. All right. Number one, if you can hunt during the week, that means there won't be very many hunters there. Number two, and I pardon me for interrupting, hunt deep into the property. Because most of the deer hunters will park their truck and walk about 100 yards. And when they do that, they're going to send the deer to you.
Okay?
Follow all of the other recommendations about scent control, wind direction, things of that nature. If where you hunt allows for baiting, do that.
But Oconee National Forest don't allow.
Okay.
Bait.
Well, you don't need to, because you're going to let everybody else send the deer to you. Okay. But other than that, and then lastly, the recommendation is for public land hunting is hunt deep into the season.
Okay.
Hunt, because most public land hunters, they hunt the first two or three weeks, then they quit.
Yes, sir.
And the big deer, the trophies, they've already driven them far from the roads, and they've pushed them deep into the area.
Okay.
So that's a few things that you can do. And they work. I'm telling you, if you look at GON Magazine and a lot of Facebook and things like that, you'll find that some quality deer and a lot of them come off public land. What has your experience been on public land?
Well, I haven't had that much experience because I haven't hunted that much myself.
All right. Well, keep those recommendations in mind and go ahead and plan those dates now. Hunt on a Wednesday and a Thursday.
I hunt every chance I can get.
Right. Well, those midweek, late season, deep into the woods recommendations will work on public land.
Okay.
They absolutely will. Absolutely will. Good luck this season, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
And be sure and call me back. Let me know how you do, will you?
Yes, sir.
Mighty fine. See you soon. Glad you called. 36 after the hour. This is O'Neill Outside. You have my question about who is this, and nobody's answered that yet. The host of Championship Fishing. What's his name? I'll send you a fishing cap. Right now, we got to go to a break, I believe. It's 36:50 after the hour, and we'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. Isn't it great to start off the weekend talking about fishing and hunting? Isn't it great to separate politics and all this other trash that you listen to, regrettably, all during the week? And I can tell you, if it wasn't the recommendation of my stations, I would have some dramatic, supportive opinions about politics. But isn't it great that I haven't? Okay. All right. Here's a call right now. We're still looking for our answer to our question, but here's Roadster calling from Doraville, Georgia. Good morning, Roadster. What do you think?
what you're doing there, Big Shorty.
Say again, I didn't hear it.
How you doing, Big Shorty?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, you bet.
How's the queen?
She's upstairs sleeping in this morning, and the
queen. Well, that's what a queen does.
That's right. And your terminology in referencing her as the queen is quite correct.
Yeah, we got that from Bortz, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
We're not going to mention politics.
No.
Deep water trout fishing. Let's bring it back to Georgia. Let's talk with Hank the Yank and Lanier, like it used to. Did you ever do that with your father on a Friday night at Lanier with lantern fishing with radios going and everybody having a ball, everybody catching fish?
Oh, man, yeah. I used to do that in the mid-60s and early 70s.
Yeah,
That's before they put stripers in the lake.
Yeah, put those stupid fish that taste like a chew.
Yeah, trout fishing at Lake Lanier was absolutely marvelous. But I will tell you that one of the reasons why stripers went into the lake and destroyed that fishery is, number one, that the lake, in this case Lake Lanier, became too fertile to support the trout population.
Oh, it was fertility versus, I thought it was because the water was not cold enough. But
it's still the same. At 45 and 50 feet, the temperature is still the same. But the water fertility and oxygen level depleted because there were so many golf courses and
I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
Well, we got to expand. Have you heard of anybody doing that at Burton or Lake Chickamauga?
I have not. I know that they have put in some trout at Burton, but I don't know. And people are catching them. You know, they really are.
Lanier on Friday night, I mean, there were boats, pontoons, cruisers, yachts.
Yeah.
It was just total 100% fun for everybody. And they had their families, and everybody was young children, and everybody could go in there and catch 14 to 16-inch rainbows.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the great things about that, from a family standpoint, you did not have to be an angler.
Exactly.
You didn't have to make a cast and work a bait or anything.
Oh, no.
You just hung it off the side of the boat, and when the rod tip hit the water, you reeled him in.
You got it. Louisiana pink worm.
They love that, and they love corn. And I had a fellow, I couldn't afford one, but I had a friend that I went with, and we had an umbrella net. You know what that is?
Oh, that's before my time.
Well, an umbrella net is like it's got a crossed frame and then a frame on the outside, and you drop this thing down into the water at about 6 feet deep, and it opens up, and then when the shad come around your light, all you have to do is raise the net, and you've got shad by the thousands.
Well, I tell you what, that would have been a great way to go, but, it was like you had said, and it was just so a simple way to fish.
Yes, it was.
And you could take your family up there and catch. I mean, we weren't talking about catching bluegills. We're talking, 12, 14, 15, 16-inch rainbow.
Absolutely.
Well, they were stock fish. It wasn't any big. I mean.
That's okay.
But Hank, I'd like to get Hank's opinion on that when he calls in.
I don't know if Hank the Yank lived here in Georgia while there was trout still in the lake. We'll ask him today if he calls.
Yeah, he's a carp man.
Yeah, in the summertime he is. Shallow water carp guy.
Yeah, you got it, man.
You bet. Hey, thanks
best
for calling, pal, and reminding us of a terrific period at Lake Lanier and other lakes, that trout fishing in the summertime was something really special.
I always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you very much for calling, and call every Saturday. Love to speak with you.
All right, buddy. Bye.
See you, pal. There we go. Okay, I think a lot of calls coming in. I think we probably have our, yes, we do have our winner. Let's get to that right now at 46 after the hour before I have to go to a break. And the question was, well, he had a plumbing company. He started Bass Buster Lures, and he was the host of Championship Fishing. And let's talk to Steve. Steve is calling from Indiana. Where are you calling from, Steve? Where
I'm
in Indiana?
From LaPorte, Indiana.
LaPorte, Indiana. Well, good. How are you listening to us there, sir?
I'm listening on the radio.
Okay. All right.
50.
All right. Terrific. That signal really gets out there, doesn't it?
It sure does. I've enjoyed your show for the last 20 years.
Well, you're very, very kind to be a part of the program this morning. And what is this fellow's name that was
the host
of Championship Fishing?
Virgil Ward.
Yes, indeed. He made a great living out of a beetle spin, swimming it back and forth on television in an aquarium, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he was a good guy. I don't think he's living now, but he was quite a pioneer. And well, I'll put you back on hold. I'll get your address, and we'll send you a fishing cap. And I do appreciate you participating in the program this morning.
You're welcome. Enjoy the show.
Thank you very much.
Have a safe Labor Day weekend.
You too. I'll put you back on hold, my friend, and get your information. And let's see, it's 4:48 after the hour. Let's talk now to Paul. He's calling from Minnesota. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you
good
today?
Morning. Good. Lovely. I recall our other calls, I believe. Do I not?
Yes.
Okay.
So we've had a few. I wanted to talk about fall fishing.
Ooh, okay.
You were talking about how sometimes things change, go to moving water and so forth.
Yes, current.
Some of the best fishing that I have had has been in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
We have change in water temperature. The lakes aren't as busy, and it really is an exciting time to be out fishing.
Ah, you bet it is. You know, one of the contributing factors, and I guess I talked about, you know, I'm always trying to up somebody else's call, and I'm not in this case, but one of the things that has to do with the fall fishing increasing is the reduced numbers of hours of daylight. The fish react to that, and they feed better.
Well, I would agree, and the best fishing trip I ever had.
Oh boy!
I was alone, and I spent a couple days on a lake in northern Minnesota, about the third week of October.
Oh boy!
And I was trolling. For 2 or 3 days with a snell, a red and white spinner, and some fathead minnows.
Okay.
And I landed, I stopped my count at 100 northern.
Not good for you.
Nothing spectacular, you know, no big record-setting size, but, you know, they were putting the feed bag on at about 15 feet of water.
Yep.
And it just was exciting.
Well, it's quite a combination that comes together that time of the year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the temperature, the reduced number of hours of daylight, the bait activity, and you were catching northern pike, huh?
Yes, and I actually think I don't recall for sure, but there is the lake turnover. I think
yes.
It's called Stratify.
Correct.
And you know that happens up here in October, November when the water conditions change, of course. The temperature of the the surface water cools down, and then the lake turns over. And for those couple days, the fishing, a few days, the fishing isn't as good in my experience because it's cloudy and smelly and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But after that turnover, the fishing is pretty good.
You know why? I'm not trying to challenge you, but I'm using it as a learning experience for the audience. You know why it turns over?
Well, it's my understanding that the water on the bottom of the lake is cooler, and the lake water on the top is warmer. And as the water cools down on the surface, it will fall to the bottom and it turns over. That's my understanding.
That is correct. Cool or cold water is heavier than warm water. So at nights, when the water temperature falls, it sinks and it turns the lake over. So you are correct, and I'm proud that you know that.
Well, thank you, and I'm going to be heading. Our last conversation was about a houseboating trip and fishing.
Yes.
That was just fantastic in June.
Uh-huh.
I'm going again in 3 weeks for some fall fishing along the Canadian border, and I hope to have just an outstanding walleye trip.
Oh, man, the best-tasting freshwater fish on earth.
So now my
walleye.
Next year I'm going to be in June. I can't take my annual houseboat trip because I'm going to be traveling on a cruise.
Ooh.
To Alaska.
Oh, yeah? With whom?
With you.
Aha! I knew that.
So we will meet. We will meet in a year.
Yes, indeed. Just think, we could talk fishing for 3 days. No, 7 days.
Well, maybe a couple days.
Okay,
we might have
all right.
Other fun things to do.
Okay, good idea. Maybe we can talk about why some of the mountains up there still have peaks and other mountains are smooth. And we may talk about that next week or the next whenever you call.
That sounds good.
Yes, indeed. We'll all learn something. Hey, thanks for calling, pal. Good
and
luck
you
on your next trip.
You have a wonderful day.
You bet. Have a great weekend, and indeed it is a weekend. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside, 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area and worldwide, 800-972-8255. When we return, more conversation. And if you and I can learn something, I'd love for you to tell me what your plans are for the fall hunting season. And one of those things is to improve your accuracy. We'll be back. You're listening to and watching In Case for on Facebook, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, and we are in our 29th year. Huh, I'm sorry. I can't help it. It's been a long haul, but it's fun every Saturday morning. And refreshing every Saturday morning to hear from you guys and ladies about fishing, hunting, how to improve it, how to be better at it, what to use, what to do, all those things that can make your outdoor experience better. And here's one. I'm going to give you two. Number one, you're going to be going to the range and shooting and sighting in your various calibers of rifles. I know I do. I am. I have a new one called a Cascade. It's CVA's new centerfire rifle. One of the things I want you to be sure and do while you're at the range, when you're sighting in, once you're on the bench and you got it and you're in, you're sighted, you're done, you're good, take some shots freehand. Out off the bench, standing up in whatever comfortable position you determine is good for you. Shoot freehand, because you don't know this season you may have to do that. Take some shots freehand. It's not always from a stand. It's not always from a tower stand or a bench. It's not always from a tripod in a ground blind. It can be freehand. So sight, get comfortable with your rifle freehand at various distances. It'll help, believe me, help especially in you managing the kick. Okay, I'm over time. I got to get out of here. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is O'Neill Outside. What a surprise.